So we have protests in Cairo, tension in Alexandria, and an unsettled situation across much of the Arab world. In Syria, small groups of activists have been gathering daily this week. They've expressed solidarity with the protesters in Egypt.
Human rights activists say yesterday's vigil in Damascus did not end well. Men in civilian clothes broke up the gathering and beat some of the demonstrators.
In Yemen, the longtime president declared that he will not run for another term. This did not prevent yesterday's demonstration by tens of thousands of people in the capital city.
And let's go next to Lebanon, which faces a political crisis all its own. In recent days, the government fell, and the potentially explosive issue that brought down that government is not resolved.
We do know the name of the next prime minister, Najib Mikati. He's under pressure now to put together a new government. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
From his hometown of Tripoli in the north to the streets of Beirut, Najib Mikati is well known in Lebanon. He's the man who brought cell phones to the country and who later sold a communications firm for billions of dollars. He's personally charming, a natural communicator, and a man with a gift for reconciling rivals to a common cause. But now he's facing two polar opposite demands, either to embrace or abandon an international court expected to indict members of the Shiite militant group Hezbollah in the 2005 assassination of former Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri. The issue is more than just political for Mikati, say those who know him, because of his historical ties to the Hariri family. A longtime acquaintance says while Mikati earned his business success, it might have turned out quite differently had he not received some timely and generous help from his early patron, one Rafiq Hariri.
Takes me back to 30 years ago when he was just a new graduate, when he and his brother, his older brother, were very close business protégés of Rafiq al-Hariri.
Anton Harik taught Najib Mikati at the American University of Beirut and then worked with him briefly in the private sector after Mikati graduated. He says Rafiq Hariri not only rescued the young Mikati from some early business difficulties, but helped him develop important ties in Saudi Arabia that continue to this day. Hariq says the prime minister-designate has always felt close to another key player, Syria, probably because his family came from western Syria in the early 20th century.
His family always felt that, you know, their national identity is Arab rather than just simply Lebanese. And he always felt something has to be done between Lebanon and Syria.
When Syrian forces were driven out of Lebanon in the wake of the Hariri assassination, Mikati was the consensus builder who was asked to guide the fragile country toward elections. He did so adroitly and stepped aside for the rise of Saad Hariri, who assumed his father's mantle as prime minister and leader of Lebanese Sunni Muslims. But Hariri's government stumbled and fell under increasing pressure from Hezbollah and its opposition allies, finally collapsing last month after mediation efforts by Syria and Saudi Arabia failed. Lebanese University professor Talal Atrisi says Hariri's missteps in dealing with the tribunal issue left him appearing duplicitous to his enemies and politically inept to some former friends, including the Saudis.
It's not just the tribunal. It's really Saad's lack of political skills. In the Syrian-Saudi talks, Saad tried to go over the Saudis' heads to the Americans, and finally the Saudis washed their hands of him. He was left alone, without his Saudi cover. I'm sure at this moment Mikati has more Saudi backing than Saad Hariri does.
But now the problem that toppled Hariri is Mikati's problem. Political scientist Hilal Khashan says Mikati may have taken on a challenge too big even for his conciliatory skills. He says Mikati seems to be looking for a consensus view that doesn't exist, and he wonders if Mikati may once again prove to be a transitional leader.
There is no question in my mind that under normal conditions he would have made an excellent prime minister. But the fact that he was nominated by Hezbollah under these existing conditions, I think he has inadvertently committed political suicide.
But on the streets of Beirut, people are quick to point out that in this country, what appear to be political suicides sometimes turn out to be temporary absences. And whether or not Najib Mikati succeeds in holding this divided country together in the short term, it's far too early to be writing his or Saad Hariri's political obituary. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.
You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.